Good evening again. My name is Gabe. I'm one of the pastors here. Welcome. We're glad you're with us. And for the brief 65 minutes that we have for the sermon, we're going to look at John. Kidding. John 1:1. Before we hear God's word, let's pray together. Right now, Lord, you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, enthroned at the Father's right hand, who has poured out the Spirit. We love you, Lord Jesus. We're in awe of the fact that you would become a little child. Help us not to sentimentalize that, but grasp the reality of it as we hear your word, as you recorded it through your apostle John. For we pray in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. John chapter 1 and verse 1. This is God's word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Thus ends the reading of God's Word. May He add His blessing to it. Thanks be to God. Amen. The most important question we will ever face is very simple. What is the universe really like? And you may be thinking to yourself, I did not come to a Christmas Eve service for a philosophical discourse. Well, you're not going to get one, don't worry. But you also might be thinking, I have 1,000 more important questions on my mind tonight. But at the end of all our questions, we're going to have to answer this one, this most fundamental one. What is the universe really like? How does this connect to our lives? Everybody here does what they do because you love what you love. What the Bible calls our hearts, our minds, will, affections. Those desires shape our lives, which become who we are. And our hearts long for what they long for because they are what they are if they've been changed by God's grace, or if they are what the Bible says, still in a state of sin. So think about it like this. The New Year's coming up, and a lot of us are going to try diets. The gyms are going to fill up for about the month of January. And then something's going to happen. You're going to get offered dessert, like more dessert. And you're going to say to yourself, I know I'm not supposed to have more ice cream. But then you're going to eat that extra portion of ice cream. And you need to ask yourself, why in that moment do you do that? And it's because at that moment, you want more ice cream more than you want the health benefits of not eating more ice cream. Our hearts desire what they desire. And that's a trivial example. A more serious one might be the addict who can't stop taking pills or drinking or whatever chemical substance it is. And even though that person wants to stop, he can't. And sure, over time, because of choices made, our brain chemistry is reshaped by what we take into our bodies. But still, at root, the heart is the issue. And while ice cream might not kill us in the short term, drugs, pills, alcohol surely can, the bottom line is the problem is still our hearts. Now, what does this have to do with the question of what is the universe really like? Everything. Because here tonight, we're all asking why questions. Why is life so hard? Why can't I stop spending so much? Why don't I feel loved? Will I ever feel loved? All of these questions will eventually come to an end. You'll have to give an answer to what you think reality is really all about. And as one philosopher put it, there's only two options when you get to that question. Either the universe is basically impersonal at root, or it's basically personal at root. Let's trace those out very quickly. If you believe the universe is basically impersonal at root, meaning that we came from a chance collocation of atoms and molecules, chance plus time plus energy and motion, which is a philosophy called evolutionary naturalism. And I recognize it's dressed up and given the credibility of irrefutable science, but it's not. It's a philosophy. Science is measurable, testable, and repeatable. A philosophy of how the world began, since none of us were there, is by definition not measurable, testable, or repeatable. Nevertheless, that's the reigning paradigm for most people today, from science to art to academia to music to medicine. We are nothing more than matter and energy in motion. And if that's what you believe that the universe is really like, several disastrous, I would argue, results follow. First of all, if all we are is that, then things like love and justice and beauty and goodness and truth, they're meaningless if you adopt this philosophy of evolutionary naturalism. Why? Because rocks can't care about justice. Trees don't care about justice. None of those things are personal entities, and yet things like love and justice and beauty and truth, they're inescapably personal realities. Persons care about love and justice. Persons can love. Another disastrous result would be the view that I think a lot of people have today, that life is ultimately pointless. You look at the West, from our architecture to our music, and what you see is this hopelessness, this despair. It's in our TV shows. It's in our streaming services. Life is pointless. Or as the late astrophysicist Carl Sagan put it, our planet is a lonely speck in the great enveloping cosmic dark. In our obscurity, there's no hint that help will come from elsewhere to save us from ourselves. Let's try that on the Shutterfly Christmas card next year. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, nothing happens when you die. But that's what he's saying, isn't it? Life is meaningless. Life is pointless. And when you tell people that long enough, with enough conviction and scientific credentials behind it, people start to believe it. And that's why we're experiencing, I think, at least one reason why we're experiencing record rates of depression in the most affluent society the world has ever seen. So that's the impersonal option. A lot of people choose it. And then here in 17 words, John, the blue-collar fisherman, gives us the only answer we can live with and live out. He gives us the personal option for the beginning of the universe. Echoing the words of Genesis 1 on purpose, his is the only gospel that begins like this. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so he says, in the beginning, there were these two divine beings. One was the Word, who a few verses later we'll know is the Son, Jesus. And then as Genesis 1 and verse 2 has already told us, and John 14 will go on to explain, there was a third divine person, the Holy Spirit. So before there was matter and energy, John is saying, there was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, mutually indwelling, mutually loving one another. So the universe, according to John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here, is basically personal, marvelously so. Ultimately personal. Before there was matter and energy, friends, there was love. This is why John will write in his first epistle, 1 John 4, verse 8, God is love. Before there was anything else, there were these three persons loving one another, mutually indwelling one another. So the things like rocks and trees, which are impersonal entities, are the product of this great personal being. And you and I are made in his image. And that's why we care about things like love and justice and meaning and purpose and truth and goodness and beauty. Now, these two answers get played out in a lot of ways. I don't want to oversimplify things here. But that's basically it. It's either impersonal or personal at the beginning. And how you answer that question will shape how you live now, who you will become, and where you will spend eternity. So tonight, as you gather with friends and family, maybe one or the other, and we've all had this. This is why Christmas is such a special time of year. You get that full feeling in your heart. When that happens, remember John's words here. remember what he's told us about who Jesus is. And remember this as well. Chance plus time plus energy cannot explain why you feel the way you will tonight. Chance plus time plus energy cannot explain why you love people around you. Only Jesus can. Only Jesus' words through John here can. And so the hope of Christmas, friends, is the reality of what the universe is really like. That's what John has told us. And like any loving person would do, Jesus now invites us to have a meal with him. A meal with God, that's what's going to happen here in just a minute. It's astonishing, but it's true. And when you step back and think about it, that makes the most sense, doesn't it? A meal with God, God who is tripersonal, God who is love, the only answer to the greatest question. Let's pray. Father, now we come to your table. We ask for your blessing upon our time here around it. And we thank you for the good news of what Jesus has done for us. Dying for our sin. That's the reason he came. That's the reason you sent him. You loved us enough to send your son to die for us. And if we will simply trust him, yes, Lord, we can eat with you now and forevermore. Fellowship with you now and forevermore. So bless us as we come, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.